Hey everyone, it's Pastor Micah, lead pastor here at High Praise Crestview. I want to say thank you for choosing to listen to today's podcast. I want to encourage you to subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening from today, and go connect with us on social media as well. My prayer is that as you listen to this message, you're encouraged, blessed, and transformed by the power of the Word of God. Now open your heart and get ready to receive what God wants to speak to you today. Open up your Bibles this morning. I'm going to make it real easy for you today. Genesis. Anybody know where Genesis is? You can open up to Genesis this morning. Genesis chapter 1 even. We're not even going to go into Genesis. Genesis chapter 1. I'm making it super simple for you this morning. We're going to do this real quickly. You know, last weekend, we had an awesome weekend. Our Building Families weekend was powerful. How many were here? We had an awesome time on Saturday with the ladies and the men's having separate events. And on Sunday, we came together, Mom and Dad, Apostles Robert and Stacy. They ministered to our church body. Dad ministered a message on unity, which was powerful. And then we came back that night for an awesome flow night where we worshiped together, strengthened our families. It was an incredible weekend. And I asked the Lord, Lord, what do you want to do now? You know, what do you want to speak now? I went through a few different series now since the beginning of the year. What are you doing now? What do you want to speak? And the Lord said, continue to speak on the family. Continue to speak on this thought of the family. So for the next few weeks, I'm going to continue. I'm feeding back some. For the next few weeks, we're going to continue on this thought of families. And I want to call this three-week series House Rules. Somebody say House Rules. Anybody got house rules in their house? Anybody got certain things you tell your kids you can do, you can't do? Anybody got certain things you tell your husband he can and he can't do? Yeah? Anybody got certain things they tell their wife? No more shopping on Amazon? Amen. Praise God. Shut up all the credit cards now. Right? I want to continue in this thought, but really what we want to hone in on in the next few weeks is creating a culture of honor in families, okay? That's what I said this last week, and I've heard my dad say this for many years. A church can never be, will only be as strong as the families that comprise the church. Hear me, it takes strong families to have a strong church. Whenever we lose emphasis on the family, whenever we lose emphasis on preaching and teaching on how to honor men and women and children, generations, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, when we lose that message completely, guess what? The church begins to dwindle. Because if we don't keep strong, families are the reproducers of society. Whew. Think about this for a second. This is the way God creates it in the beginning. He says, I'm going to get to it. I'm already ahead of myself. He creates Adam and Eve. And what's he telling them? He says, be fruitful and do what? Multiply. Have babies, right? Multiply, okay? Why would God change his mind about the church? The church should be the same way, to where whenever families come together, when the family of God comes together, we should be multiplying, not subtracting. But oftentimes, because we don't put emphasis on honoring one another, we make men up here, women down here, and children non-existent. And when we begin to do that, we totally mess up the way that God created in the beginning, and therefore the church stops multiplying itself. And so now we have culture going this way, and we have the church standing stagnant and dying day by day. And what I'm here to preach today is we're going to build families that honor each other, that see each other, that know each other, that love each other, and that care for each other. And we're going to do that in this house as well. Whatever is happening, listen. Whatever is the desire, the desire of God should be the desire for your house. And from that desire should flow into the church. And we're going to teach on that for the next few weeks, so stay with me. I've got about 12 pages of notes and I'm already way off. Anybody ever went to an amusement park before? I'll give you a little soft open. Now I gave you a really punch in the face. Anybody ever been to an amusement park? Disney, Universal, OWA? Miracle Strip back in the day in Panama City Beach. Miracle Strip, shipwreck on a Miracle Strip Park. Splashing all day and screaming after dark. See, if you ain't from these parts, you don't know that. He's crazy. You go to an amusement park and all, you know, this past week on Monday, we did a very quick trip down to Universal because we hold season passes right now. So we took Gideon, our mid, and our middle child, and Levi, our oldest, and then Reagan, he's a brand of his own. He was like, I don't want to walk, so I'm not going. So he stayed with his grandparents. And so we took just those two, and we had a good time. But, you know, we walk in, and everybody has a different viewpoint, right? All of us went in with a different viewpoint. I am the planner, okay? I am the guy that I get the hotel. I make sure that we're going to X, Y, and Z. We're going to this park on this day. We're going to leave at this time. We're going to get in the car at this time. We're going to blah, 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 blah. Pastor Chelsea is the passenger princess. But she also makes sure that everybody stays in a decent attitude, okay? She makes sure that she's keeping up with everybody and so on and so forth. Gideon and Levi, they walk in and like, I want to ride the biggest ride that we can ride first. And I want all the souvenirs that I can get. And also, along with Pastor Chelsea, I want all the snacks that we can purchase as well. I'm just here for rides and snacks, and I'm over here doing my role. Pastor Chelsea's got her role. Gideon and Reagan, they got theirs. We all have our own thing. So the kids are looking at the rides. Mom's counting the heads, make sure we got both kids. I'm not going to lie, a couple times I'm like, where's Reagan? He's at home. And then I'm looking at food prices every time they say snack, and I'm like, we could have just put some Cheez-Its in a bag and brought them, okay? You don't need that $12 snack. The kids want the souvenir. Mom wants everybody to stay together. And I'm sitting here going, I want you to understand something. A souvenir is not a gift of the Spirit that's freely given. Okay? It costs a lot of money. And by the end of the day, we've all experienced a fun, we've all had our own experience together, completely different viewpoints and things of that. But at the end of the day, all four of us look back and go, that was a fun time. We had a good time going to the same family, same place, different roles, different burdens, different perspectives. And hear me today, if the family is going to stay healthy, everybody has to learn how to honor what everybody else in the family is carrying. Okay? In order for a family to be healthy, you have to learn how to honor what some, just because you aren't carrying that, doesn't mean that they aren't carrying that. So today we're going to do this series, House Rules, and really learn about honor in the household. I know I've got stuff to learn even as I'm preparing these sermons. Next week's Father's Day, so we're going to speak to the men. But today, and I know you go, well, this is backwards. Well, maybe somebody needs to hear this backwards for a second. Today, we're really going to talk about women in the house or women in the church, just women in general, and how we can honor women properly. Hear me today. The gospel is not good news if it is less for one person. Okay? The gospel is good news because it's for all people. Honor should be given to all people. So today's about women. It's about daughters, sisters, wives, mothers, spiritual mothers, intercessors, teachers, worshipers, women who serve, women who build, women who pray, women who lead, women who have wisdom, women who carry strength, women who have been overlooked, women who have been mishandled, women who have been mislabeled. This is about the women of God that God has placed in this house today. And men, if you think for a second you don't need to listen, then I encourage you, this is your time where you can stand and you can leave if you need to. Because here's the truth. If we can't honor women as men, we have a pride problem. Women, are one of God's greatest creations. Let me prove it for you. Man by himself was not good enough. God looks at man and goes, ugh. Or like Jimmy Fallon, ugh. However that he does it in the skits. He said, ew. Ooh, not good. It is not good that man be alone. Let me make somebody. Somebody, very nice. I didn't preach last week. Y'all left me locked up. God said, let me make someone good. Let me make something good. Not to say that man was bad. It was to say that man was not good by himself. He needed a help me. So let's read this. Well, let me say this first before we get into that. Women are not less than men. They're different than men. So hear me. You cannot build healthy families while dishonoring half the family. Write that down. Clock it. You cannot build healthy families while dishonoring half the family. Okay? Women are not less than. Point blank, period. Genesis 1, you had plenty of time to find that book of the Bible. Genesis 1, 27 through 28 says this. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Okay? Notice, male and female, he created them. So God creates what was intended for the church and what is intended for us. Creates them, man and female. So it goes on to say, then God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Now, let me just stop 1 second, because I feel like somebody in the room is pushing on me a little bit and going, well, don't you know, Pastor, there's studies recently that says, you know, the story of creation and Genesis and all these things, maybe they're not a actual physical, scientific account of how it all happened. Sure, I will absolutely go that route with you for a second. That doesn't change the fact that the Word of God is given to us for instruction. So even if you want to go that route, this still applies to us today, no matter how it happened. This is still what we live by and what we go by, because this was written for our instruction. Do you hear that today, church? Okay, make sure we're on the same page before we move forward. So made male and female in the image of God. How were men made? How were men made? Dust of the earth, but in the image of God, right? Okay. How were women made? Well, by the rib, sure, prime rib. And then they were also made in the image of God. Did you hear a difference? The only difference was she was made a better quality material than you were. But both made in the image and the likeness of God. So if woman was made in the image of God, then write this down. If I have it back there, to dishonor women is to dishonor part of what God chose to reveal through his creation. To dishonor women is to dishonor part of what God chose to reveal through his creation. So when God wanted his image represented on earth, he said, I want male and female. Not just male, not just female. I want male and female. There's something about the fullness of God's image that is seen when both men and women walk together in their God-given purpose. When I say together, I don't mean necessarily in a marriage covenant. I mean like in a room like this, the family of God. Whenever we work together, there is something beautiful that is seen about the likeness and the image of God. But when we diminish women, we are not being biblical. Well, thank you for that overwhelming response in this Southern Baptist church. We're actually shrinking. We're shrinking the picture of God. We are shrinking the picture of God's creation and what he wants in the earth. A woman is not an accessory to the image of God. She is an expression of the image of God. So when God creates man, male and female, he doesn't say, male, go and have dominion in the earth. Female, just be an accessory and look cute. Listen, Eve didn't have to look cute. It just happened, right? My wife, she doesn't have to look pretty. She just is pretty everywhere she goes. So follow this. God says, go, and gives dominion to both parts. Both parties have dominion over everything in the earth at this moment. And then goes on once again. Let's go back to this. Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion. Okay? The word dominion was not just given to dumb-in. Right? It was given to all. It was given to both male and female. Men and women were both part of filling the earth and subduing it and stewarding what God had created. So that leads me to think this. I know in our Southern culture, we believe that women should be dominated by the men. You're wrong. That's not the way that God created. And I understand authority of the household, and we'll talk about that. I promise you, I'm going to get there. But they were created and to walk in dominion together under God, and that matters because some men have confused leadership with control. Yeah. Leadership with dominion. Some men have confused order with superiority. And some men have confused headship with domination. But biblical order never requires the dishonor of women. Biblical order never requires dishonor of women. Write this down. God never had to make women smaller to make men significant. Now, maybe some of us are short kings, and you are shorter than a woman, but that doesn't mean God was trying to make you less than. God never made women to be smaller to make men more significant. And this is where we get into this idea where men, we think about legacy. We think about family name. We want a boy so we can continue the family line. We want to leave something behind. Let me just let you in on something. There is no family line without a woman. If you'd like to, I can take you back to the sixth grade and we can go through biology class. Or whenever they teach it now. There is no family legacy, there is no family line without a womb, without a woman, without someone to birth the next generation. There is no next generation without a woman. There is no family without a woman. Even Jesus was born through what? A woman. Now, this is kind of insult to injury, but with no power from a man. The Holy Spirit was the one. It was not Joseph. God chose to bring the Word made flesh into the world through the womb of a woman. So write this down. If God trusted a woman to carry the Word made flesh, we should be careful acting like women cannot carry the Word of the Lord. Clock it. If God trusted a woman to carry the Word made flesh, Jesus, by the way, we should be careful acting like women cannot carry the Word of the Lord. And let me just go a little step further. If women... If women can teach your kids the 50 nifty United States, why can't she teach them about Jesus? Huh? If a woman can bring a gavel down as a judge, then why can't a woman speak to a man and declare the word of the Lord to him? You want to know why? It's because we don't understand Scripture. We take two or three Scriptures and go, yep, Paul said. My boy Paul. Apostle, man. What up, AP? That's right. Tell the woman to hush. We take two scriptures, and make a whole doctrine that women need to be silenced in the church. I'll get there in a second, because some of y'all in the room are like, yeah, that's right, Pastor. Now you're preaching. No, we've missed Scripture. Because in order to actually believe that, we also have to believe that Paul is schizophrenic. Because literally in that just a few chapters prior, Paul says something different. Paul talks about prophecy. Scripture says this, that in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on how much flesh? Man flesh. Lord of the Rings. Anybody got that one? Yeah. I'll pour out my... No, not just man flesh. All flesh. And your sons and who? And your sons. Your sons and your sons, they'll prophesy. Daughters, be quiet. Prophecy is always verbal. It is something that is spoken word. And he says, your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Hear me today. Paul is not crazy. We just don't read Scripture properly. We read Scripture from our country's standpoint. We read Scripture from our raising standpoint. We read Scripture from the South standpoint. And we don't read the fullness of Scripture. So we miss the fullness of God whenever we don't read the fullness of Scripture. Some of y'all go, where's God at? You want to know where God is? In the other part of Scripture that you left out. And you're going, I don't know. I don't know, man, where's God? Yeah, read all of Scripture. Contextually, study the word. Yeah. Pastor, that sounds like a lot of work. I got a job. Then come to church. I'll do it. I'll help you. And then you'll be interested. You'll be like, hold on. That's not what I read. Yeah. Then you're getting interested. Now you're just digging in there. Anyway, I'm only on point two, and I think page two of 11. So here we go. Women are different than men, right? We know this. Praise God. Somebody say praise God, men. Praise God. Amen. So in Genesis 2, we see that God creates woman. We talked about it a little bit. It's not good that man should be alone. I'll make a helper comparable to him, is what Scripture says. Now, this word helper, a lot of people hear helper and think, oh, yeah, my sweet tea lady. No, she's not an assistant. She's not a servant. She's not somebody beneath. The Hebrew word there, Apostle Robert talked about a little bit last week, neged, which is a helper completely opposite of him. So the Lord says, let me make a helper that is completely opposite, that stands completely opposite and sees a totally different point of view than what Adam sees. And this is what women are for us. Men, it is someone who looks at things differently than you do. And hear me, you ought to be thankful that you have somebody around you. Maybe if you're not even in a marriage relationship, you have friends, or you're in a work environment, or maybe here at the church, but that see things from a different perspective than you do. God said, I'll make a helper comparable. Comparable means also of equivalent quality, right? Comparable means there's a comparison. If you put the two side by side, well, it would be equivalent quality. It's not real Jordans and knockoff Jordans, right? It's not what a lady's like. It's not a real Coach purse and a fake Coach purse. It is the same. It is equal quality, but different. That stands different. So same value, but a different design. Comparable does not mean beneath. It does not mean less than. It does not mean inferior. It means she's different. God didn't look at Adam and say, he needs somebody less than him. God says, it's not good that man be alone, so he needs somebody comparable. And men, this is where we've got to be honest. We got to be honest to admit that many of us have gotten prideful and we think we know it all the time. We think we see it all. We think we understand it all. We think we've got everything together. And we think, let's just be honest, for many men, and I'm not saying ladies don't deal with this too, so please hear me. But for some men in this room, we think our way, in the words of Mandalorian, this is the way, right? We think that this is the way that things should go. This is the way everything needs to happen. And if it doesn't happen this way, well, then daggummit, it's just wrong. And what I'm saying is, what if we took a step back and realized that God placed people in our life, including women, to challenge some views, perspectives that we may have, so that we can, once again, let's go back to the beginning, show forth a better image of God. Yeah. Mm. And maybe that's where some of our pride stems from, men. I'll talk to you in the room. Now, next week, men, I'm not going to be hard on you. I'm going to be difficult on the ladies next week, okay? So, ladies, do come back and bring your husbands, because I'm going to talk them up. I'm going to talk them up. And I'm going to challenge you ladies, okay? Today's more of a challenging word for the men and encouragement for the ladies. And we'll flip the script next week because we need to learn how to honor one another. But maybe some of our pride stems from is not understanding what our actual purpose is. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, your purpose in your household, yeah, it's to lead. You know how Jesus taught us to lead? Serving. Yep. Came to serve, not to be served. So you think leading and you think up here, whenever really it's, hey, what can I do for you? What can we do for our family? How can we make this a better place? How can we make our house more like heaven on earth? How can we bring peace into our kids' life? What can we do? What can we change? What do I maybe need to do a little less of? What do I need to do a little more of? This is, and it's all for this, and this is where your main purpose is. This is your main purpose, no matter who you are. If you're breathing in this room, this is your main purpose, to be an image bearer of Christ. Yeah. Point blank. So as soon as we start viewing our wife or other women around us as less than, we are corrupting the possibility of being a true image bearer of Christ, because we are subtracting from our lives the viewpoint of someone who stands as a valued opposite of us to help refine us so that we can show forth a better image of Christ. Are you seeing this today? Amen. So, before sin enters the world or anything, man's in the garden, and God looks down and says, this man needs some help. And men, let me give you this real quickly. If Adam needed help in a place of perfection, you probably need help in the place you are right now. Whether you want it or not. Men and women are different, and that's not the problem. This is the design. A wife may see something that her husband does not see. A woman in the church may discern something that a man missed. You know, we have women pastors in this church, and I'm so thankful for the women who pastor in this church, who help lead in this church, because the truth is this. They think about things and see things that I don't see, and neither do any of our other male pastors in this church. And I'm thankful for that because we need that balance. We need a balanced view so that our church can look more like heaven on earth as well. A woman with wisdom is not a threat to a godly man. She's a gift from God. I'm going to say it again. A woman with wisdom is not a threat to a godly man. She's a gift from God. Now, a mother may carry an awareness sometimes that a father may not carry. A woman may have wisdom in a room that needs to be heard. That does not make her rebellious. That does not make her difficult. It does not make her out of order. Once again, a woman without wisdom is not a threat to a godly man. Now, here's the balance, ladies. Just because you're wise doesn't mean you're always right. Okay? Does not mean a woman is always right, just like a man is not always right. Everybody, somebody say everybody. Everybody needs humility. Everybody needs accountability. Everybody needs submission to Jesus. Everybody needs the Word. Everybody needs the Spirit of God. But we have to stop acting like women having a different perspective is automatically a problem. Matter of fact, Proverbs 11:14 gives us this scripture. Where there is no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. When I read that scripture, what's interesting, it doesn't say the multitude of male counselors. What's it say? The multitude of counselors. I believe it's possible to read this with an understanding whenever we read Genesis, now we bring it to this, in the multitude of counselors, male and female counselors even. There is safety inside of it. But it's not just about male or female, it's about godly counsel. It comes back to the submission of Jesus, being submitted to the Lord, and in that multitude of counsel, now there is a safety. Now, we're kind of talking about this honor, and here's the truth, women are definitely worthy of honor. 1 Peter 3:7 gives us this. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife. And here's where some men, you hang your hat. As to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life. We leave off the second part. We really like to bring up the weaker vessel. How often do we bring up and being heirs together in the grace of life? Heirs together in the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Now, Peter right here, he's obviously writing specifically to husbands, but I believe there's a principle that we can pull from this as to how women should be honored. Peter says, dwell with them with understanding. What does that mean? It means learn to understand. Go and write this down. You cannot honor someone you refuse to understand. Okay? So, it's impossible for me to honor my wife unless I understand her. I have to begin to understand some things about her. I have to, understand when I say this, I have to study her. In a marriage relationship, one thing that we bring up a lot when we're talking to other couples is the love languages. Anybody ever heard of the 5 love languages, okay? You have physical touch, words of affirmation, quality time, gifts, and acts of service. Pastor Chelsea and I, we speak different love languages and how we receive and how we give often. In order for me to honor what makes her feel loved, guess what I got to do? I have to learn and understand what truly makes her feel loved and honored before I can show that to her. So you're supposed to dwell with understanding. So that means pay attention. Okay? The Lord, husbands in the room, the Lord gave you your wife or your wife in mercy, married you. uh, She is a helpmeet, not a doormat. And I'll get there in a second. But you've got to understand. Understand what makes value. Now, some men say, I honor my wife, but have not listened to her in years when she brings up things that actually matter to her. Some men say, I love my wife, but they don't know what's actually heavy on her heart. Some men say, she knows I appreciate her, but she's exhausted, overlooked, carrying things that she should not have to carry alone. Honor requires understanding. Now, here's where we hang our hat. Peter says, give honor to her as the weaker vessel. Now, people have used that phrase to make women seem weak, less, fragile, or incapable. I don't believe that's what Peter's talking about here. That's not what Peter's saying. He's not saying women are less valuable. He's not saying that women are just mentally weak. And he's not saying women are spiritually weak. He's saying handle her with honor and care, like something that is expensive. Yeah. Like something that is... Scripture tells us, he who finds a wife finds a what? I like my version better. An amazing thing. But a good thing. Finds a good thing. Now, here's where we struggle, men. Is some of us treat our vehicle like more of a good thing than we do our spouse. Don't look at me in that tone of voice, men. Some of y'all are so meticulous about your tools that you know exactly where that Allen wrench set is, even right now as I say, yep, it's right there. But if I asked, what is your wife's coffee order? Now, Andy would know. Andy said, none, because Donna don't drink coffee. Ain't got to worry about it. But if I asked, what's your wife's coffee order? Coffee, right? It is to what is being driven home here is that the vessel is valuable, and you don't throw fine china in the back of the truck with your tools. You handle it differently because it's valuable, not because it's less, but because it is precious. It is of value to her. So when Peter says the weaker vessel or the lesser vessel, he's not calling her less valuable. He's calling men to a greater responsibility, actually. Yeah. He's not saying she's spiritually beneath you. He's saying she's an heir with you. He's not saying treat her like she is weak and worthless. He's saying treat her with understanding, honor, and care because God is watching how you handle, hear me, what he values. God is watching how you handle what he values. Peter says something strong. He says, if you refuse to honor her because you're dishonoring what God honors, your prayers will be hindered. God connects how a husband treats his wife to the effectiveness of his prayers. So that means, men, you cannot be dishonoring your wife at home and then acting spiritual at church and like everything's just fine. So, for all the men in the room, I'm going to give you some practical ways real quickly that you can honor women without being creepy. First of all, show value for who they are, not just what they can do for you. Men, get your phones out and write down notes. Show value for who they are, not just what they can do for you. Don't only notice women when they're serving you. Woo! Some of y'all... show more attention to the waitress than you do your wife. Whoo, I felt the shundai in that one. Don't only appreciate your wife when dinner is made. Laundry's done, kids are cared for, and everything's convenient for you. Honor is not just saying thank you when somebody makes your life easier. Honor is seeing the person. Men, if you're not in a relationship in this room... don't be gross and don't be a perv. Amen. You can control your eyes. Respect women in speech and conduct. Men, don't make comments that make women feel unsafe, uncomfortable, or reduced. Okay? If you do those things, you're not honoring women. You're devaluing and you're dishonoring. And I know you think, well, it's just locker talk. No, it ain't. Because locker talk turns into locker actions. Outward talk, outward actions. So cut it off at the pass. Well, I won't go where I was going to go. Don't be the guy who has to say, I was just joking, when you were really being dishonoring. Good. Married men, kiss your wife. Hug your wife. Encourage your wife. Speak life over her. And here we go. Help carry the weight. I got a job. If your wife's a stay-at-home mom, guess what? She got a job. Trade places for a little bit. See how you like it. How do I wipe a butt again? Chores are not the woman's job. Amen. Guess what? You live there too. Parenting is not your wife's job. It is y'all's job. It took two to make it, and it takes two to raise it. If you're in a household that has a husband and a wife together, now understand, I believe if you're in a single mother home or a single father home, we've talked about this a lot in our church, God gives you grace. He brings people into your life to help you, encourage you to be there and do those things to help you in that way. But hear me today, if you're in a husband and wife marriage relationship, listen, if it took two to make it, then it ought to take two to raise it too, and you start helping out around the house some. So hear me. If you help make the kids, you can help raise the kids. If you help dirty the dishes, guess what? You can help clean the dishes. And if you help create the stinky socks, then you can help fold the laundry. Yeah. Amen. Okay? A few practical ways for you, okay? Listen, we want to put legs to the good news. We want to put legs to honoring, not just talk about it. We want to actually, how can we actually live this thing out? How can we do what the Word's calling us to do? There's a few ways. That's what 1 Peter's talking about. Do some of those things. Actually honor them. Live with understanding. I've seen men take better care of their car than their wife. They know what gas it takes, whether it's diesel, if it needs the premium. And here's another thing. You'll put whatever amount of money it takes in that car. Well, you'll put whatever. If it takes diesel, baby, I got diesel gas. But then your wife wants a coffee. You're like, I don't know. Now hear me, there's balance in everything, and I don't want to go too far into that, because there's balance that if you don't have money in the bank account, well then sure, right now is not a good time to do that. Yeah. That's called stewardship, right? And that is part of leading sometimes. Yeah. It's stewarding what you know you have a means to do in that moment. We've been in these instances where I'm like, babe, we can't right now. I know how much you love that and you want that, but right now we can't. But when the time comes that we can do that, you better believe that's the first thing we're going to go do. I'll make sure that is a importance that we place on that, because it's something that you desire. You know the tire pressure it needs. You know the oil it needs. You know every little sound. As soon as it makes a little sound, it's like, something's wrong with my car. But whenever your wife huffs walking away, you're like, what's wrong with her? But as soon as your car starts going click, 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 oh, I need to get into the shop immediately. Well, thank you for this today. Y'all really loving this. If you can study your hobbies, you can study your wife. But this is not just a message to married men. This is about a culture of honor in the house. We will honor women in this house. High praise, we will honor women. Amen. Now, I'm going to preach into the second service. So y'all just stay with me. Like I said, next week we're gonna honor the men of our house, and we're gonna challenge the ladies. But today we're gonna challenge the men, and challenge our viewpoints, challenge some ways that maybe we were raised and thought about things. Hear me: you can be raised in the most loving, caring home, with the greatest intent, but wrong principle. Yeah. Yeah. And that doesn't make that person bad. It doesn't make that person evil. It just means that maybe they just missed something. And that's okay. We give grace for that, right? But just because we give grace for that and mercy for that doesn't mean that we just stick our heads in the sand and ignore that there might be a different principle that's a better word that we can live by to create a better life, a better future, a better example of Jesus. Amen? Now, in the church, we like to use this word. And I don't know if I can reference this, but I'm going to anyways. There's a comedy sketch by these two gentlemen. And we use a word that they try to use in this sketch a lot in a church way. We use this as this is the ultimate spiritual cuss word when we're talking about a woman, and that is this. Jezebel. As soon as we call a woman Jezebel, we know in the church what we're actually saying. You might as well just go ahead and say the word. Because that's what you're intending. That is what you mean. You are calling the person that thing. And what I'm saying is, just because a woman is strong does not make her a Jezebel. As a matter of fact, let me go this far. Proverbs 31, the woman that every man wants, is one of the most amazing pictures of a woman of strength you will ever read. Many men, they read, and her children will rise up and call her blessed. Her husband is well known in the city and respected and honored. We read those, and we leave out the rest of Proverbs 31, which talks about who can find a virtuous wife, for her worth is far above rubies. In verse 13, it says, she seeks after wool and flax, and willingly works with her hands. 14, she's like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. 15, she also rises while it is yet night and does what? What's that word? Provide. Now, men, I know you think you're the only one who can provide. What's interesting is the Proverbs 31 woman was a provider. Provides food for, and I know you're, yeah, because she was in the kitchen, that's her place. No! She provides, yeah, sure, she may have made some meals, but she provides food for her household, a portion for her maidservants. Go on to 16. She considers a field and does what? She better have her husband's permission. She buys it, and from her what? What does she do? She out there, I'm putting the seeds down, sugar. We're making some wine today. She considers a field and buys it from her profits. She plants what? A vineyard. 17, she girds herself with strength and she works out. She had Planet Fitness. That's what it takes, baby, putting more seed in the ground. Verse 20. What's she do next? She extends her hand to the poor. She reaches out her hands to the needy. Go down to 26. She opens her mouth with what? Wisdom. And on, which by the way, which means she had a brain. Could see things. And wisdom came forth. But ladies, let me balance it. Because some of y'all got wisdom and meanness together. It says, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. I don't know about you. That woman does more in a day than I do. I'm not out planting a vineyard. I'm not out every day extending my hands to the poor every single day of my life. Proverbs 31 woman is a picture of strength, not weakness. And men, you don't want a Proverbs 31 woman. You want a servant. You want the maid servant. But rather, women are, I'm painting this for you today, that women are capable of being wise and full of strength just like you are, dummy. I don't have to have the law of kindness. That's for women. I'm just playing. Let's go back. I'm going to come to a close. Strong woman does not equal Jezebel. Jezebel's real, but Jezebel's manipulation, control. And women, yes, that can happen. Guess what? The same spirit can operate in men too. Because it's a spirit, and spirit doesn't have a gender. So the spirit of Jezebel can absolutely, if you want to say, be influence someone's actions. But it's not just to a woman. It can also be a man as well. Now, and this is where the Proverbs 31 woman and Jezebel are different. She can have all the strength. She's wise, counsel, all these things. And when she opens her mouth, wisdom comes forth with the law of kindness on her tongue. Hear me today. Strength without kindness becomes harsh, and wisdom without love becomes sharp. Yeah. Strength without kindness will become harsh, and wisdom without love will become sharp. So this message today, it's a call for women. Listen, I'm not preaching women's rights. I'm preaching Scripture's rights. Yeah. I'm going back to creation and saying, look, this is what God, this is how God intended in the beginning, friend. Where we get messed up? Where we get off course? Where did we misalign this and make it what we want? This is a call for women to be strong, not in the way of their flesh, but in the way of the Lord. And hear me say, I'm going to go this far too, not strong in the way of the world, because here's the issue. The church has created a system, often with inside of it, that does not align with this word that I'm preaching today. And so what culture will do in response to that, from the place of hurt, from the place of feeling invalidated, from the place of feeling unvalued, the world will launch a counter, understand when I say this, a counter, or I'll say what it is. The enemy goes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. It is a tactic of the enemy to go forth looking like something, to pull forth a counter, if you will, that many, if you are easily tossed to and fro by any wind of doctrine, anything like that, you will jump right into and you will back that up. That's right. We don't need no men's. Men are stupid. Some y'all ladies got real quiet on me because you yesterday were saying this. Hear me. That is equally as wrong, ladies. Wow. Y'all were all on. Y'all loved it whenever I was getting on to the men. I start talking to y'all. Y'all like, yeah, Pastor Chell said, y'all are going back to women need to be silent in the church, huh? Now. Anytime we devalue either one, we are not being led by the word and we're not living in accordance to the spirit. And here's the last thing, Pastor Donna can play, or I'm going to preach all day on this. Women can carry and share the gospel. More than any other ancient book ever written, Scripture shows women operating with grit, courage, determination, faith, wisdom, prophecy, and strength. I'm going to give you some examples real quickly in case you've been struggling with whether women can actually preach to men. In the Old Testament, Sarah births a nation at the age 90. Jochebed defies Pharaoh and rescues Moses. Miriam prophesies and sings over a nation. Deborah serves as a prophet and judge, the first judge, Judy. Jael takes out the enemy. Rahab operates with faith and becomes part of the lineage of Jesus. Esther risks her life and saves her people. New Testament. Mary says yes to a divine assignment that changes human history. Luke's gospel, the prophetess Anna prophesies that the Messiah has come. Mary of Bethany pours costly oil on Jesus. The woman at the well starts a revival after talking to Jesus. The women at the tomb are the first to testify of the resurrection. The women at Pentecost are filled with the Holy Spirit. Priscilla helps instruct Apollos. Phoebe is trusted with the letter to the Romans. And Junia is noted among the apostles. That's spiritual oversight, by the way, of men. And yet many of the very things that women did in Scripture, they can't do in some Christian circles today. The church has to be careful that we do not celebrate strong women in the Bible while silencing strong women in the room. And when we do that, we start missing the gospel. We start missing the image and likeness of Christ. I know, let's come back to this. I promise you I will close. Paul gives the instruction for women being silent. That's 1 Corinthians 14 says women should remain silent in the churches. 1 Timothy 2 talks about a woman should not be teaching or have authority over man. I'm not going to pretend those verses don't exist in the Bible. They're there. But we have to interpret Scripture with Scripture. We cannot build theology by ripping two verses out of context and ignoring the full witness of the Bible. Paul is not schizophrenic. 1 Corinthians 11, Paul gives instructions for men and women praying and prophesying. Then go down three chapters, and he says, hey, now's not time to speak. Because Paul's not addressing that women need to shut up in church. He's addressing that this is their first time actually being able to go into church. And so women in the moment have a lot of questions. And the questions are creating some disruptions. So Paul is instructing, saying, hey, now's not the time. Husbands, go home and tell your wives the way we've been doing this so that now we can do this together. We talk about prophecy. Once again, it's spoken. Paul's bringing order to chaos. He's not silencing the life of every woman for all time. So if something seems inconsistent, the issue is not God's intention. The issue is our understanding. And if God didn't silence women at the tomb and decide to pour out his spirit on them at Pentecost, who are we to say they should be silent now? Where do you get off? Who do you think you are? Golly, I still got a whole nother two pages. Next week, men, I'll come with two pages. The answer to disorder is not dishonor, though. Hear me today. The answer to disorder is biblical order. And if we're going to have healthy families, healthy marriages, healthy homes, healthy church, we got to learn to honor each other rightly, scripturally, honor one another, because you cannot build families while you're dishonoring half the family. And I know you say, well, I'm not married. Well, women will still represent many half of the families in this room. And anytime we begin to dishonor them, discredit them, we're discrediting and dishonoring the very image of God and what God gave us as the helpmeet, the helper that is comparable. We're saying we don't need that God. Think about that for a second. Anytime you devalue what a woman might bring as a different viewpoint, what you're really saying is, I don't need what you gave me, God. And I think if we begin to think this way, we really begin to honor one another and honor each other rightly. Hear me. I believe that level, this ties into Pastor Robert's message last week, that level of unity, God begins to command a blessing in that place. The blessing is commanded where there is unity. Amen. Did you get something out of this morning? Will you stand up to your feet this morning? Amen. I know I went a little long. Will you lift your hands real quickly? I just want to pray real fast. I'm going to ask our ministry team to go ahead and come get ready, if you will, while we pray. Father, I thank you for your people. I thank you for humility in this room, humble hearts to receive. I thank you, Lord, for the engrafted word that's able to save our souls. Lord, we want to be image bearers. So today, Father, we recognize the way to bear the image of Christ is for us to walk together, honoring one another, caring for each other, and reaching people together. Lord, let that be the testimony of this church, that we're a church that has a culture of honor established for each other so that we can show forth your goodness, show forth the image of Christ. I thank you, Lord, for not a distorted or perversion of the image, but Lord, your image be seen through us. Lord, any areas where we've had pride, I pray for any men in this room that may be dealing with a spirit of pride. I thank you, Lord, for humility. I thank you for every woman in this room that maybe they've struggled even with the spirit of pride or feeling like they've been misunderstood, misvalued. Lord, I thank you, heal those areas right now. God, we give you all the glory and the honor and the praise, and we thank you, Lord. We thank you for what you've done, you're doing, and you're going to do. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. We give God one more hand clap today, church. Amen.